Thank you. Thank you so much. I just want to welcome Kevin and Janet up, though they get to bless us with communion this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and pass them out. I'll just pray over everyone. Lord, we thank you so much that you are a God that came down for us, knowing that you were going on a cross, being beaten and broken for us, allowing your blood to be shed that actually washes us clean of all of our sins. We thank you. We thank you with everything that we've got, that we are able to partake with everything that you've given us, your free gift of salvation. And it costs you everything. We're so grateful, Father God, that we get to take part of your body and your blood that was really, truly shed for us. Such a holy moment to be still before you, Lord. And to say yes to your promise. To say yes that you are the Son of God. To say yes that only the name of Jesus and only by your blood are we washed clean. Receive eternal salvation. That you tore that veil, that we get to enter in with you, the Most High. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Father God, that you said, for the joy set before you. That joy was us. You saw us and you still pursued the cross in obedience to your Father. Thank you for being the way. The way that we get to go. Jesus, you are everything to us. Thank you for your sacrifice. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. If you haven't already taken it, we can take it together. If you already have, wonderful. So thank you, Jesus, for your body and your blood. Amen. Okay. Yeah. If y'all don't know, I don't really like grape juice, but I really love Jesus. I was going to make announcements. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can I share something about what you just said, though?
Yes.
So, I grew up in the Catholic Church, so we didn't do juice or wine or anything. We just did the host. And so when I first started coming to a Protestant church and they served grape juice, I kind of panicked because when I was a child, it actually made me.
Oh, yeah.
It wouldn't stay in my system, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there the first Sunday and I was saved already and that I was going to take communion and I just like, Jesus, you got to take control of this because this is not going to be pretty. And I can take communion with grape juice.
Hey, thank you, Lord.
Yeah. So, it's the only time I ever drink grape juice. But,
yes.
It was that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Bigger than the grapes. That's
right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I can take a shot of grape juice because I will never hang on a cross. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will shoot grape juice every day for you, Lord. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Rochelle, did you have something that you wanted to share as well?
Oh, I was just the only thing was I was going to just say about the food pantry downstairs. Thank you for everybody that's
yes.
given. And just so anybody knows, there's a food pantry downstairs.
Absolutely.
For any of our brothers.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The first Monday of every month, there's a prayer meeting for the ladies at my house. So tomorrow night at 7 p.m., if any of you ladies want to go and need directions, just come to see me.
Wonderful. Yes. Lovely. I like this, like sharing the announcements. It's great. It's great. I love it. Yes. Hi, baby. So I do have two main announcements as well that I like to share with everybody. So Abby Parker, stand up, stand up. Thank you, Abby Parker. Abby's in the house. So Abby has really actually answered a call of the Lord. The Lord has put something on her heart to pour into our children. And we have talked, we have prayed, all of this. We are in agreement with the Lord that she gets to rise up and be, you know, kind of like the children's director. We'll just say that, right? And so she gets to go downstairs with the kids and teach our kids. So thank you so much. Thank you, Abby. Yep. And thank you, Rochelle, for always also being back there with the kids the whole time as well. And anyone else that has always been with the children helping, thank you. Thank you. One last announcement, I think. So Joe and Layla. Would you guys stand up for just a second, please, and thank you, if it's okay. Thank you. I am brand new, but they are not. They have been a core part of this church for many, many years, and they have given and poured in and served for a long time. They are lovers and followers of Jesus, and the Lord has called them to Missouri, right? Yeah, so they're still a part of this house, part of our body, but next Sunday is Potluck Sunday. And we would love to honor you guys next Sunday. So if you all would like to either write a card or do whatever the Lord puts on your heart to honor them, we would love to do that next Sunday. So please show up. Please show up. Yes, Johnny?
And I brought some blank cards so that people can write things to them.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So next Sunday, yes. Write cards or whatever you'd like to do, but we're going to bless and honor you guys and send you off right in Jesus' name. Yeah. Praise the Lord. All right. Okay, are you guys ready to start yet?
Yeah.
All right. Well, children, you are dismissed with Miss Abby. Go have a great time. And any children that are staying in here, right in the back, there are the coloring books, picture books, sticker books, all the books, search words, all the fun stuff. Thank you, Lord. We just pray grace and a circle of angels around all of those children and Abby and Rochelle. And Lord, would you just pour out your spirit on the children? We thank you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So today actually might just be short and sweet. You guys are welcome. Yeah, good. About time. Speed it up. Okay, Johnny. Laughter in the house of the Lord is good. Laughter I love. I love it. So, okay, for a little while, we were kind of going on a series of the call of the Lord, right? And then we had a couple little bumps, I guess, just a different way that the Lord was flowing. We had a couple different messages. So today we are back on track with the call of the Lord and how we are to follow the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one that calls us. So we are going to be in, oh, excuse me, I'm sorry, I did forget. Dave and Nancy Stone are here with us this morning, too. Yay. So thank you. And Nancy, thank you for being with the children as well. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Love you guys. Bless you guys. All right, so Matthew 4, starting at verse 18. And we will be in 18 through 22. I'll read through it, and then we'll go back and just break it down. So Matthew 4, verse 18. The title says, Jesus calls the first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Sometimes when we read the word, we can read it just like that. Like, yeah, cool. He's walking by the sea, sees two brothers, are casting a net. Great. Jesus says, follow me. You know, come on, guys, let's go. They walk down a little bit farther. And they're like, hey, two other brothers are in the boat. Hey, come follow me. And sometimes it can kind of stay surface level. I don't really care for surface level. I love the deepness. I love going into the word and like opening it up, right? And seeing what else is in there. So this morning, I pray that that picture, that you guys can see that picture. So let's together go a little bit deeper in what this word is actually saying. Because the Bible is so rich. It is so rich and absolutely alive. So let's go back up to verse 18. It says, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he, which is Jesus, saw two brothers, Simon and Andrew. So right there, it says that Jesus saw them. Do you ever wrestle with the feeling of, I don't think God ever sees me? Does God see what's going on in my life? Did God see what happened? Jesus, did you see what they did? Right? Anything like that? Let me tell you that Jesus has his eyes on you. He does. Jesus has his eyes on you. And you can, Jesus has his eyes on me. Why? Why would the Lord see me? Why would the Lord choose to have eyes for me, for you? It is okay to ask that. It is also okay to say, thank you, Jesus, for really seeing me. He is walking by and he sees two brothers. He sees the family, right? He sees Simon. He sees Andrew, and they are together. What are they doing? They're casting out a net. Right? They're throwing something out into the sea, right? I wonder what he hears the brothers like saying as well, right? Like, see the picture. Jesus is walking like on the beach, kind of like on the shoreline, right? And the brothers are probably in the water and they're throwing out the nets. Do y'all have siblings? How do you guys talk to your sibling? Right. What is Jesus hearing, you know? Maybe, right? When he sees them together. Does he see teamwork? Like, there you go, brother. Good job throwing that net out. You did a great job, right? Or is it like, idiot, I told you, to the left, to the right. It's all bunched up, right? Like, are they fighting? Are they men standing like this, not even looking at each other and be like, you do your thing, I'll do my thing, we'll do it together? Maybe, right? They're fishing. By the way, I absolutely love fishing. I love fishing. I don't get to do it very often, but my girls love fishing too. I don't know if my husband really loves fishing too much because he's the one that has to do all of the work. Thank you for doing the work, right? Getting the lines, the hooks, the worms, right? Like just, yeah, doing all the stuff. But thank you for doing that. Fishing is fun, but catching is funner, a whole lot more funner, right? But it doesn't say that they're catching. It just says that they're casting out their nets, right? So Jesus is walking by. He sees the two brothers hopefully they are working together because this is their job, right? Casting the net into the sea, throwing it out. They're also hopeful, right? The brothers are hopeful because they keep doing it over and over and over again. I hope I'm going to catch something. Pull it back in. Nothing. Let's do it again. Hope. What are they going for, right? They're trying to catch fish, big ones. They got a small, throw the small ones back, right? What if they find a tire or a tin can? Well, they probably didn't have tires back then. But the wooden wheel. They pull up a wooden wheel, you know? They pull up garbage, maybe. They pull up a sandal, for sure, right? They have to make decisions, right? They toss it out. They have to see what they get to pull back in. What have they caught, right? Maybe some garbage, maybe some really good big fish, maybe some little ones, but they have a choice to make. They have decisions. We got to throw that back. That's a female. That's a male. That's a keeper. Nope, toss it back. That's garbage. We don't need it. A lot of decisions after casting out their nets and pulling it back in. So they're used to that. The last part of 18, casting their net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So this is what they do. They are used to fishing, right? The Lord sees them as fishermen. But then the Lord calls out to them and he says, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. Their occupation is going after fish, right? Something smelly and slippery, and now they get to also go after something that sometimes is smelly and slippery, right? Just like, oh, people. But they have something already inside of them that the Lord can see, okay? What do you think Jesus actually sees when he's walking by and he saw those two brothers? Like I'd mentioned, maybe teamwork, maybe muscle, maybe their skills,
devotion.
Right? Like determination. We're still going to keep at this. Maybe he saw the heart. I think Jesus sees something even deeper than just looking at Andrew and Simon casting a net out. In Psalms 139, starting at verse 13, it says, for you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Okay, so I want the deepness, the richness. You see Jesus there. He's walking by the sea. He sees the brothers. He looks at that family, right? What does he see right there? Yes, he sees what they are doing, but he really sees something else. Jesus himself sees what he put inside of them. He knows how he made them. Right? We are made in Christ Jesus. Jesus himself is walking along. He knows how this day is going to unfold. Because what does it say? In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Jesus knows what day it is for these brothers. Jesus is excited for this day. This is the day I get to call those boys close to me. I know what I've called them to, right? Jesus knows what he has called them to. Jesus knows what he has made them for. Jesus knows what he has put inside of them. So we can say that for ourselves too, right? Jesus sees your inward parts. Jesus knows how he made you. Jesus knows what he has called you to. And Jesus knows how he has formed you. I pray you are picking this up for yourself. When the Lord sees you, he sees what he has already deposited inside of you. He knows that today is the day that he has already written in his book about you, right? The day that he is calling them, there's a day that he has either already called you or will be calling you. How beautiful is that? How intimate is that? How personal is that when the Lord calls us? Andrew and Simon are probably just maybe oblivious, maybe, maybe not. Maybe they have been waiting and waiting for this day to come. I need to jump over to John chapter 1 real fast, because if they have been waiting for this day, where does that come from? Because it says immediately they dropped their nets, everything that they were doing, and followed him. Where does that come from? When the Lord has called you, have you immediately just like, Jesus called, I gotta go? No? Okay. Me too. Because it's like, Lord, wait a minute. I may not be used to this, right? I want to be so certain. I want to be so sure. I want to pray on it. I want to seek you first. Lord, is this you? Is this your voice? Are you calling me? Sometimes, well, often, the Lord himself gives us a lot of grace. This place of us maybe believing, you know, I don't think I'm called to this. I really don't think that I'm called to this. Guilty of saying that, okay? Totally guilty. I repent, Lord, of doubt and not believing what he has called me to. Maybe it is the same for you. If you are in doubt or disbelief of what Jesus himself has called you into, okay? He's called you into his kingdom. He's called you out, right? To, if you want to say evangelize or disciple other people, just share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. It's what we're called to do. We're called to listen and obey, right? Go after him with everything that we have. When the Lord calls us, it's actually a command, okay? It really is a command. He is so wonderful and merciful and kind that it allows us to feel as if we have a choice. And we do. We do have a choice to follow him. We do have a choice to say, nope, I don't want any part of you. But actually, when he calls, it's a command. And we really should be like, I don't know how to do it. But wow, Lord, you really have called me into this. And so with you, I will say yes. With you, I will do it. With you, all things are possible, right? With God, they're all possible. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. So John 1, I said, where do you think that they felt this like immediate, right? Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Were they anticipating this? Were they waiting for him? Did they know this day was coming? All of that, right? In John 1, it talks about John the Baptist, where he is saying, behold, the Lamb of God, right? Jesus walked by, and John is like, do you know who that dude is? That is the Lamb of God. Are you kidding me? I'm not even worthy to like lift, tie, touch his sandal at all. He comes before me, even though he came after me. But that is the Lamb of God, okay? It says the next day, this is chapter 1, verse 35 in John. The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples. The boys have been discipled by John the Baptist. What is John the Baptist constantly talking about every day? The Messiah, right? Jesus, the Son of God, the Lamb of God coming, right? Washing sins away. He is preparing the way for the Lord to come in. So Andrew, Simon, James, John, they have been hearing about the Messiah. They have been hearing about the Son of God. And let's just read it because it's good. He was standing with two of his disciples and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this. They heard and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour, which is about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "So you are Simon, the son of John? You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. I absolutely love that. Jesus loves nicknames, okay? Yeah. I love nicknames too, yeah. All right? Yes, I do. I love a lot of nicknames, but so does the Lord, right? The Lord himself gives us a new name. It's beautiful. So I just wonder when I was reading, how is it that you immediately drop everything that you're comfortable with, you're familiar with, that you know you're good at? I'm a fisherman. This is what I am. This is what I do. And then your ear hears the words, the voice of Jesus Christ. "Hey, follow me. And I will promise." I will is a promise. "I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they drop everything and they follow after him. What is it that drew them to Christ? What is it that they have inside of them that was like, "I have to go"? That voice. I've been waiting to hear that voice. It said that he knits our souls, right? And I was thinking, Lord, I wonder too if you like inscribed, right, on our soul. This one's mine. This one belongs to me. We're marked by the Lord. He wrote down every day before we even existed something deep inside of us, something that he has deposited in us. That is what is responding. Our soul knows it so well. Your soul responds to the voice of the Lord. Our spirit responds to Jesus, right? We can't even go to the Father except through Jesus. You're here because you have been called. You have heard something. You have, like, "I don't even know why I'm here, but I am here." It's because Jesus is drawing you in. He loves you. He wants you so close with him, right? It also says that faith comes by hearing. They have been listening and hearing John talk about the Messiah, the one who is coming. I believe faith also drew them to the Lord. There is something that Jesus himself puts inside of us, right? He knows what he has called us to. He knows what we have been created for. And when he speaks, it's like, "How are you here today? I don't know, but I'm here. I heard the Lord and I have to go. I have to follow him. And I left everything behind, everything I knew, everything that was comfortable and familiar, everything that was right to me. Okay, I heard my Lord calling." They heard their Lord calling. "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Do you think maybe when they heard that, like, "No, I don't want to do that. I love fishing for fish. I don't want to be around. What does that even mean? First of all, I'm not going to fish for other men, right? Like, no. You're going to be gathering them in. You're going to be throwing something out, right? That is going to be attractive, which is Jesus Christ, okay? Right? And pulling them in, pulling into a close friendship, partnership, relationship, discipleship, mentorship, right? Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what they're made to do. That's what we are made to do. Okay? So inside responded to the voice of the Lord. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Now, verse 21, Andrew and Simon are with the Lord. They're walking down the beach with him. They're on the outside view now because of what just happened to them, their experience.
Are we in Matthew now again?
We're still in Matthew, yes. Okay. Matthew 4, verse 20. 21. So the boys are with Jesus. They're walking down the beach. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. So now they're not just kind of standing in some shallow water. They're a little bit deeper water, right? I would assume the boat has to be farther out in deeper water so they can cast out their nets and try and fish for fish, right? So they're farther out, and they're with their dad. In Mark, it says with the hired servants as well, right? So there's other people in this boat. They're doing their job. They are at work. They are on the clock, okay? And they hear the voice of the Lord calling to them as well. And they're like, peace out, Dad. Bye, right? I wonder if they jump out of the boat and they physically have to swim to go to Jesus. I don't know how far out they are. I mean, they can hear him, and thank you, God, for that. But it's worth it to them. Dad, I gotta go. Family business, I'm leaving because I'm called by Jesus. Does that ever feel like that for you guys? When my Lord calls me, I love my dad, I love my mom, I love my siblings, I love my job, I love fill in the blank, but my Lord has called me. Would you jump out of the boat? Would you be willing to get wet? Would you be willing to crawl up on the sand and get gross and be like, Lord, I'm here. I heard your voice. Everything inside of me responded to you. Immediately, I jumped out. All of a sudden, I'm soaking wet. But here I am, right in front of you. I want to walk down the beach with you too. Whatever you've called me to. I wonder how their father responded as well. If he was like, go ahead, boys. I've been praying for this too. I've been waiting myself. Did he sit there like, Lord God, you honor me by choosing my boys to follow you? Maybe it was that. Maybe he was like, there they go, James and Johnny, just leaving work. You know, we don't know. Probably, I'm going to say, a high honor to watch his boys go after the Lord. Because I know as a parent, right, when you see your girls and they have any encounter, your sons and your daughters have any encounter with the Lord, and you're just like, wow, Lord, thank you. This is what it's about. Call my children close to you. I think their faith made them leap out of the boat. Their soul made them leap out of the boat. Because they were sitting there mending the nets. So they have already cast it out. They have already caught something heavy enough to probably break a few strings on that, right? And now we have to fix it. We got to fix a problem. We got to tie a new hook, put on a new worm, right? Unravel this tangle ball mess. No, you don't. You cut it off. You just, bye. Not dealing with you. You restring it. They're mending something. And that's when Jesus called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Anything that we put in front of us, the Lord will also bring us to the place of like, hey, do you love me more than your father, your mother, your sister, your brothers, your job, everything that you have? Would you lay it down for me? Yes. Yes. Yes, I would lay it down for you. Yes, Lord, make my heart in that place that I could say, immediately I stepped into it. Immediately I left it. Immediately I went after my Lord with everything that I have. Yes. I want to encourage you with this too. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are his workmanship, right? So earlier I said the Lord knows what he put inside of us. The Lord knows how he made us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. And God himself has prepared good works for us to walk into, right? Walk them out with him. When he calls us, we are to, you know what, Lord? Myself, I may not know just how to do it. But with you, I'm going to say yes. I am immediately, make my heart get into that place that say immediately, yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you. You're the one I've been waiting for. You're the one I've been hearing about. I want to come after you with everything that I have. Wow, Lord, you're the one who sees me. You're the one who knows me. You're the one who wrote about this day for me.
Right.
Yes, God. Yes, God. My yes is sold out to the Lord. Is your yes sold out to the Lord? Your identity. You are made, created in that secret, deep place with him, inside of him. He has deposited good works inside of you already to walk them out with him. So we repent and renounce of all fear and anxiety and doubt and disbelief that tries to come at us to rob us of that. Of our calling that the Lord has placed already inside of us.
Yeah.
I thank you for that, Lord. Father, we just thank you and praise you right now that you would be a God that has eyes for us, that you purposely look upon us, that when you knitted us together in that beautiful secret place, that you laid something on our souls that responds to you, that responds to your voice, that responds to your presence. I thank you, Jesus, for the true fear of the Lord, that awe and wonder and respect of the Almighty God. You are holy and lifted up. You are God of the universe. We are the created beings, and you choose to see us. You choose to deposit something inside of us that together with you we get to walk out in good works. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for seeing us. Thank you for calling us by name. Even given us a nickname, a new name. I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I ask for a greater measure of faith that we would be able to say, Lord, I don't know how to do what you have called me to do, but with you, I will step in, I will step out, and we will walk it out together. I thank you, Jesus, that your calling is no little thing. I thank you, Lord, that in our calling, in our obedience, we bring you glory and honor. You are the one that our hearts desire, Lord. Fill us up, Holy Spirit. And if we are in a place today that we know, I have said no to the Lord over and over. I have been so afraid of stepping in to the calling that he has spoken over my life. Lord, bring us to that place. Lord, today's the day that you've written in your book. I'm sorry. Help me. I'm now ready to step in to my calling. You have already given us the skills, the determination, the muscle to walk it out. It may just look differently, but you're with us and you never fail. We thank you, Lord. Our lives are surrendered to you, Jesus. And they are blessed because we have you. And I bless everyone sitting here and even listening online. In Jesus' name, amen.